All right. I'm Mookie, or Mark, if you prefer, from 88.5 FM in Southern California. We have Kevin Morby in the Zoom room today. It's amazing to meet you, man. I feel like I know you personally from all the music that I've experienced of yours in the past. First of all, where are you right now in the world?
I am. Well, nice to meet you, too, by the way. I love the name Mookie. A good friend of mine is also named Mookie. And I am in the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri, made infamous by the show Ozarks.
Beautiful. I'm familiar with it. I have a family who lives in Columbia, Missouri. And sure. One day we went tubing and got a boat. And it was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, it's a good time. I was doing all of that past couple of days.
So you and your band hunkered down briefly in SoCal at a recording studio in Eagle Rock, and we're going to get some live music in just a matter of moments, which is super exciting. But man, as a solo artist, people could do the deep dive and find a bunch of your releases, records like Harlem River and Still Life and Singing Saw, which was actually the first album that that's how I got turned on to Kevin Morby. And in my opinion, you know, I had been telling people on the air, it was an instant indie rock classic. It's one of my favorite records for sure. City Music, Oh My God, Sundowner, and of course the new record, This Is a Photograph. The record is available right now, man. We got to talk about the velocity on your fastball. We got to talk about your ninja and nunchuck experience and so many other things, but let's get into the title track of the new record right now, if you don't mind. This Is a Photograph from Kevin Morby, and this is 88.5 FM.
This is a photograph, a window to the past, of your father on the front line, with no shirt on, ready to take the world on, into the West Texas sun, the year that you were born, the year that you are now. His wife behind the camera, his daughter and his baby boy, got a glimmer in his eye, seemed to say, this is what I'll miss about being alive, and this is what I'll miss after I die. My body, my girls, my boy. Now time's gonna feed in the heavyweight champ, laughing in his face as he danced like Sugar Ray. Used to be, come on, come on, but now, no mas, no mas. Used to be, come on, come on, but now, no mas, no mas. And this is a photograph, a window to the past, of your mother in a skirt, in the cool Kentucky dirt, laughing in the garden, back where it all started. Got a smile on her face, everything in its place. Got a glimmer in her eye, seemed to say, this is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss after I die. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss after I die. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. This is what I'll miss about being alive. take the well done. Beneath the Tennessee sun, inside the kingdom, got a glimmer in my eye. Seem to say.
All right, so that's the title track, and our listeners have been hearing This Is a Photograph and Rock Bottom for a few weeks now. Again, it's all on the new record. KevinMorby.com is the website if people want to go buy the music, get the merch, and all of that stuff. So before we get into the music, man, I saw on Twitter you put it out in the universe, and it sort of worked out for you as we tape this segment. I believe it's just a day before you're able to throw out the first pitch at a Royals game. Are you a huge baseball fan? Have you always been a Kansas City Royals guy?
Yeah, I'm a big baseball fan. I grew up playing baseball, and then I denied it for a long time as I got super into music, in like my teenage years and then the early part of my adulthood. But then I really came back around to it in my like mid-20s, and I love sports, to be honest with you, and I love baseball. And we've been talking with their sort of marketing team for a couple of years about me doing something like throwing the first pitch, and it seemed like it was going to happen, but then COVID happened, and then the marketing guy we've been talking to for a long time left, so it was like, oh man, we got to start all over again. And then I was thinking, I bet if I just tweeted about it, I would have it, seal the deal in a couple of hours. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to be throwing the first pitch tomorrow. I'm actually pretty nervous. I was describing to a friend, usually everything I do that, gets the nerves going a little bit, it has to do with music. And I'm so used to doing music that, so even when I'm a little nervous, I'm like, okay, well, I got this.
Anthem would be easier.
Well, actually, no, because I can't sing that. I can't hit those notes. That would actually be a nightmare. But if I were to do the national anthem, I just play it on guitar or something. So yes, it would be easier. It would be like, okay, well, once the guitar is in my hands, everything's going to make sense. But now I'm doing this thing where there's going to be all this attention on me with a baseball in my hand. And I know how to pitch. I know how to throw a ball, but I'm not used to doing it in front of a crowd, so we'll see how it goes. I'm excited but nervous.
No, yeah, it's like making a stage announcement or something. It's you plan it all out in your head, but once you get in front of a hot mic, it's like you never know what's going to happen. That's just incredible, man. I'm like so happy for you, and just to step foot on a major league field is pretty cool.
That's what it's all about. Because growing up, the first part of my life, I was a pitcher, and I love baseball diamonds, and I'm excited to just see how that feels to walk out to the mound.
It's crazy, man. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll pop up on socials, and I'll be scrolling through looking for footage of that. You inadvertently have turned me on to other artists in the past. I remember seeing Meg Duffy as your guitar player back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, she came off, or, they came off as this technically sound guitar player with just amazing chops. And then you listen to the Hand Habit stuff. And I was not, I haven't done the deep dive, but from what I've heard, it's a little bit different from what I expected. Also, I saw you several years ago. I think it was at the Regent or something downtown Los Angeles, where Phoebe Bridgers opened up for you. Solo acoustic. I remember her mom was in the audience. Super fun night. I wish I went up to you just to say hi, but I didn't. Time flies. That was like a long time ago, all of a sudden, can't really believe that.
I like that Phoebe experience. I like having that in my sort of arsenal of, it feels like a career moment when someone opens up for you and they become like the biggest artist on earth. I'll love to Phoebe Bridgers, and she's very kind, cool person. And she's just gotten so huge, and it's been amazing. We're still label mates and everything, but I love that's my story of Phoebe Bridgers opened for me technically one time in 2017. Her mom was in the audience, but it's been amazing to just watch how much that's exploded.
No, yeah, it's just to see the trajectory, right, of some of these musicians to be on board close to day one and then watch it blow up. It doesn't happen for everybody, but it does happen. And it's happening with Phoebe. It's crazy.
Totally.
Kevin Morby show's coming through town in SoCal, the Belasco Theater, which is a cool spot, on October 1st. And Ohana Fest in Dana Point, which looks like a beautiful outdoor festival curated by Eddie Vedder. Did he reach out to you personally? Does it even work like that?
No, not personally. It's all through booking agents, though. If he wants to reach out personally, I'm a big fan. And I know, speaking of baseball, he's a baseball enthusiast, someone who's definitely probably thrown a few first pitches, at least one.
Yeah, right, maybe for the Cubbies or something like that.
I think for the Cubs, yeah.
Yeah, back to the music. This is a photograph. Sonically, it's an amazing song as far as how it's arranged. Lyrically, it just absolutely tugs at your inner heartstrings and gives you all the feels. It's heavy. It really is. And then watching the music video, I'm assuming those are pictures of family members.
Mm-hmm. Right? A lot of them are.
Yeah. Did you come up with the concept photos. of the video for that?
I worked on it with my friend Chantal Anderson, who's a great video director and photographer. And she kind of had the idea. I mean, the song is so literal that it would be weird to do anything but sort of depict the photographs that I'm talking about in it. You know, it'd be hard to kind of come up with any other narrative. But we worked with a really cool archivist in New York that Chantal is familiar with. I forget their name at the moment, but you can find it on the video. But they provided a bunch of great stock photos, and then we picked from a lot of my old family photos.
Mm-hmm. When you share songs like that with your family, is it hard to do? Songwriting is just so personal sometimes.
Yeah, it's so personal. In this case, it's very personal about other people. Yeah, and you know, my family specifically. And it's always a little, I remember I had the rough mixes to the record, and I had them in my truck, and we're driving around, and I was like, I'm gonna play some of my new songs. And I kind of didn't tell them what it was gonna be at first, and then I just played it and kind of got their reaction. But they're such big supportive fans of mine, and just really supportive, amazing parents and family. They're more than excited that I'm, you know, using all this old family imagery and sort of singing about them.
It's incredible. Again, the music video for This Is a Photograph, which is the title track of the brand new Kevin Morby record. Real quick, before we get into the song Rock Bottom live in the studio, you had some photos of your own, at an art installation. I don't know what the term is, but This Is a Photograph of Memphis was shown in early May. And that was a collection of photos that you took.
Yeah, those are photos that I took. You know, a lot of this record I wrote while living out of a hotel called the Peabody in downtown Memphis in 2020, sort of at the height of the pandemic. And they're just photographs that I took. My camera sort of became this sort of companion that I would take around. You know, I was obviously sort of isolated and living this sort of isolated existence of kind of the self-imposed writing retreat. But having the camera kind of as like, you know, my partner in crime, and got me out into the world. And I was taking photos of a lot of stuff. And obviously there's sort of this shadow cast over the photos I was taking at the time because of the virus. But I had a photo show in Brooklyn, New York earlier this year. And it's all those photos.
Just of people, places, and things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was kind of taking myself on these sort of self-guided rock and roll tours. Sort of following the lineage of a lot of different artists that I look up to throughout Memphis, and sort of going to their tombstones or to the places of their death or their birth, or, you know, so there's a lot of photos of those things, like of Jeff Buckley's house that he lived in up until his death, or, you know, the Memphis Zoo where there's a plaque for Jeff Buckley, you know, stuff in the neighborhoods of Stax Records, or, you know, along the Mississippi River. So just kind of wherever these sort of Reddit threads or biographies would take me.
You feel fortunate to be able to visit some of these places as a touring musician. You probably, you know, have been to places that I may never ever go to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very fortunate. You know, the traveling aspect of what I do becomes really monotonous and hard after a while. But that's just sort of getting from point A to point B. But being in these places and getting to spend extra time in them on tour or before a tour or after a tour is really amazing and magical. And I'm certainly very fortunate for it. So, you know, traveling, I'm rich in travel experience, which has been a nice perk of what I do.
It sounds like you're happy to do it and not completely jaded.
Not yet.
Let's get into another song. I do have some more questions for you here, but this is a live version of the song Rock Bottom. It's on the new record. This is A Photograph, and it is Kevin Morby on 88.5 FM.
All right, ready? Here we go.
They're all gonna laugh at you, 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 all of my life. Just trying to be like my father, all of my life. Up to the teat of my mama. It's cold down here, it's cold down here. Rock bottom, bop bop, rock bottom, bop bop, all of my life. Just trying to make a dollar. Open up your mouth, my boy. All you gotta do is holler. Hey, in the rock bottom. Bop, bop. Bop, bop. Everybody roasting me, all of my life, like I was a piece of meat. It's cold down here, despite the heat. In the rock bottom, bop bop, rock bottom, bop bop, all of my life. Oh, to be a king, all of my life. Oh, to be anything but. In the rock bottom, bop bop. They're all gonna laugh at you, 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 laugh at you. Rock bottom, bop bop, rock bottom, bop bop, rock bottom, bop bop, rock bottom, bop bop.
Rock Bottom is the track, and that was Kevin Morby on 88.5 FM and 88.5fm.org. You've aligned yourself with some awesome talent, certainly in the music world, but Tim Heidecker, who's a musician as well, is actually in the video for Rock Bottom. What's your relationship like with Mr. Heidecker? Because we're all big fans of his films.
It's good. You know, Tim had me on his show, Office Hours, his podcast in 2020. And I guess it's the first time we quote unquote met, though it was over the internet. And then he had me back on in the studio earlier this year. And last year I was out there, or I guess earlier this year, I was living out in Los Angeles for a couple of months, and we became sort of tennis buddies, and we were playing some doubles with the other members of Office Hours. And we've kept in good touch. You know, he sent me his record before it was done, and we share music and share some laughs over text message. And he's a really, you know, multi-talented guy, and he can make you laugh and he can make you cry with his songs. He's very, very good dude. I'm happy to know.
Yeah. It was cool to see that cameo in the music video for Rock Bottom. I did have a question about the opening lyrics. Is that an homage to anything? They're all going to laugh at you line.
Yeah, it's to the movie Carrie. It's pulling from that. A lot of people have brought up Adam Sandler, which was unbeknownst to me.
That's what I was going to say. And I think I'm a little bit older than you, so I remember listening to that comedy album.
Which, it, yeah, and like, I'm a fan of the Sandman. I don't think I would ever put something that he, I would ever put a reference. I mean, who knows, you know, like maybe there'd be a Billy Madison reference or something in a song someday. But that's from Carrie. I'm pulling from the Sissy Spacek, film, not her film, but, you know, she portrays Carrie in that. And that's what I'm taking it from.
Okay, cool. I had to ask that. It had been lingering in my head for quite some time. That thank you for clarifying. Yeah. You did an Ask Me Anything, I think, on Reddit earlier this week. Mm-hmm. How did that go? Were there super, you know, were there super Morbi fans in attendance? And did you get asked any weird questions?
It was good. I feel like those things are always a couple. It's like two ends of the spectrum of like, I just heard about yesterday. I just heard about you yesterday. I think the music sounds okay. And then there's people who are, you know, really sensitive, kind people who have a deep relationship with my music. And I guess a little bit in between of people who just want to know what guitar pedal I use or something like that. But luckily nothing incriminating and nothing too mean. So yeah, it went pretty well. An old childhood friend of mine popped in with a question who I hadn't heard from I was like 9 years old, named Doug, and that went pretty well. So, you know, shout out to Doug for popping into the AMA.
Nice. That's awesome. Sounds like it went well.
It went well.
Are you a gearhead yourself? Speaking of, you know, fielding questions about your gear.
Not at all. I'm actually probably to a fault in some scenarios. I really am just, you know, I barely know what brand of guitar I'm playing half of the time. And I'm just the type of person who, I love guitars, but I couldn't tell you, you know, what kind of cool pickup and what vintage guitar. I'm really bad with all that stuff. I just don't have the mental capacity for it. But over the years, having done this enough, I have learned what gear I like and what works for me, but I keep it all pretty minimal.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Do you have any other hobbies in the in-between times? You picked up the nunchucks several mm-hmm. years ago. Do you dig on martial arts, or did you just want something cool to practice? Your work is actually featured in the Rock Bottom video as well.
It's true. It's kind of similar to what I was saying about baseball earlier, where nunchucking and martial arts is something that I was very big into as a kid. And I kind of picked back up in the pandemic. I felt like it was me reverting back into this sort of childlike safe place, buying some more nunchucks, you know, for the first time since I was a kid. So I like that. And then I actually similarly got super into playing tennis over the pandemic. A lot of musician friends started to do this. It became like a big thing for all of us for whatever reason. But also, there's a lot of nunchucking in tennis. It's a very similar formation with how you're using your wrist and how you hold the racket and everything. So I'd say nunchucking and tennis are, yeah, two strong hobbies of mine.
That's cool, man. I remember back in the day, and I'm kind of a sneaker guy. I'm still looking for those Andre Agassi Nike shoes.
Sure.
Everyone wanted a pair of those back in the day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have one more song, and it is Five Easy Pieces. But before we mm-hmm. get into it, a bonus question before we wrap it up here. If there was any, you know, if you could get in the Wayback Time Machine, the old DeLorean, and go back to any era to experience the culture and music, would it be 90s grunge in Seattle, 1970s CBGB scene? Where would you
know,
go?
That's a really hard question to answer, but I think that CBGB scene, the late 70s in New York, would be an amazing time, or, you know, early to mid 60s in New York, I think would be great with the whole beat scene and Bob Dylan and, you know, everything that's happening at those open mic cafes. But I think, man, I mean, it's actually, when you read everything about those scenes or about the late like 77 scene in New York, it's all very dark, but it would be, seems like it'd be a really fun time. I think that would be a good one. But then at the same time, I think going back to like the 40s big band stuff could be interesting too. But let's just say, being a part of sort of Lou Reed's world in the late 70s, Patti Smith, all those people hanging around sort of, you know, at the Chelsea Hotel, being able to stay at the Chelsea Hotel and experience that in that decade, I think would be a really cool thing. I'd love to go back there.
It's doubt that anyone really appreciated what was going on. It's doubtful that, you know, at the time, but, you know,
right.
In hindsight, it's just a treasure trove of just this amazing music and art and musicianship. And, you know, I'll go through periods of time where I'll attach myself to an era and want to read all the books and listen to all the music. And, you know, now my favorite record is Marquee Moon type of thing, you know, all of that stuff.
Really fun.
Incredible, man. So we're going to wrap it up here with five easy pieces and we'll see you early October in SoCal. Man, good luck to you with the first pitch.
Thank you.
It's really cool, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you. I'm gonna need it.
Yeah. Anything to touch on before we wrap it up? Is there anything you'd like to say to the people who might not be familiar with the Kevin Morby music yet?
I don't think so. Enjoy and go Royals.
There you go. We'll talk to you real soon, man.
To make the bad times last, to stay there forever, to never leave, to lock up my mind and body, then swallow the key. All of my time has been wasted on you, baby. Best years of my life I spent dying next to you. Wish I could pretend I wouldn't do it all again. Cause I would if I could if you asked me to. So just ask me to. Bobby baby, oh Bobby child, you kiss like a monster, but you still drive me wild. My tears in the dish rag, your hands on my jeans, a song in my mouth that you won't ever let me sing. All of my time has been wasted on you, baby. Best years of my life fell like ice from my eyes. And I can't complain, love's insane, I don't blame you. Like low-hanging fruit, I pull down the tree, saying this way, pick me. Now I wait around just like a clown, wondering what to do. With a map, wondering which road leads back to you. And how do you make a bad time last? Get a camera, put it in a photograph. Yeah. Thank you.
Fucking beautiful. That's a keeper. Yeah.
Hey there, I'm Mookie from the Independent 88.5 FM and 88.5fm.org. Please know that we are a member-driven public radio station here in Southern California. If you want to keep the sessions going and all this amazing content, video content and stuff on the air, become a member through 88.5fm.org. And we have this amazing vinyl compilation available right now of sessions that we've recorded in studio and all over Southern California. A one-time donation of $100 or a monthly sustaining membership of $10 a month will get you this limited edition rare piece of vinyl, Studio Sessions Volume 2, available right now.